So, Acts chapter 26, and we'll read from verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. I wonder if you notice here that Paul is making a confession to Agrippa. And indeed, what he is confessing is his madness in the way that he acted towards the church. After 2 years in prison, Paul finally was getting an opportunity to speak his case before someone who had an idea what he was talking about. Agrippa was a Jewish leader. Now, he is called a king, but we reminded ourselves last week that while he was called King Agrippa, he still had to be subject and to serve the Roman overlords. It was Rome and Caesar who were in charge of Israel and the Jewish nation, Judea and Galilee, the place where Agrippa held his rule. But because Agrippa was a Jew, and because he had responsibilities over the Jewish people, he was familiar with the Jewish religion. In fact, it's quite likely that Agrippa was himself a member of the group, or the religious group, called Sadducees. Not a Pharisee, but a Sadducee. And it may well be that Agrippa as king gave some allegiance at least to that Sadducee way of life. He was certainly an expert in the matters of religion of the Jews of which Paul spoke, which neither Felix the Roman or Festus the Roman governor were aware of. And that was their problem. They said, we can't find anything wrong with this man. It's arguments about the Jewish faith. And so they kept putting off and putting off any decision about Paul until here was a man, Agrippa, that might be able to give them some direction. And it's interesting to see that Paul spends no time on foolish and frivolous accusations that are made against him by the Jews. He's not interested in all the nonsense that the Jews accused him of. He goes straight to the heart of the matter because he knows that Agrippa will understand what it is he is saying. And it's almost as if to say to Agrippa, Agrippa, I'm not here to tell you how good I am. I'm not here to try and say to you that all these accusations are false and I'm really a very good person. No, he said, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. He said, I'm not a good man. Not in that sense. He said, I treated poor, innocent people terribly. I have set myself as a Pharisee for the sake of my religion, for the sake of my beliefs. I set myself against the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, he calls him. I set myself against the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And I set myself against the work of Jesus Christ. I did everything that I could, everything that was in my power, to suppress and destroy Jesus of Nazareth. And his people, his church, in the name of my religion. And that's what he is talking about when he speaks to Agrippa in verses 10 and 11. He says there, let me just read again what he says. He says, which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Now let's just think about what Paul, or he was Saul of Tarsus then. Let's just think about what he was doing. He shut up these gentlest of peoples, these followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, these people whom the Lord Jesus Christ himself called the meek in the earth. He shut them up in prison. And that those wouldn't be very nice prisons in those days. He put them to death. When they were charged in the courts, he gave his voice against them. And he punished them very often in every synagogue. And he forced them to blaspheme. He tortured them. He threatened them. He threatened their wives and their children, and he did everything that was possible in his power. He says, Agrippa, I was exceeding mad against them. I even persecuted them when they ran away and when they fled to strange or to other cities. And here is Paul being very honest about what it was that he did. It's interesting because this little verse, verse 11 here, it tells us, or verse 10, it tells us that he put them to death. You know, the only Christian that we actually know about being put to death is Stephen, as far as Paul was concerned, Saul of Tarsus. But here it speaks about they, plural. And so we know that there was more than Stephen put to death by Saul of Tarsus. Let me just draw your attention to a couple of things, because we might ask ourselves, why was it that Saul or Paul was so exceeding mad against these meekest of people? Well, it was simply for this reason, that he was not prepared to accept that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Not as a Pharisee. And here's the irony. As a Pharisee, Paul believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees, which Agrippa may have been, they did not believe that. And you remember when Paul was taken prisoner in Jerusalem, that he was able to get out by saying that the reason why I'm here today is because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And there was a fight amongst the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They started arguing together. The point was simply this, that although Saul or Paul believed in the resurrection of the dead, he also believed that the God of his faith would never raise Christ from the dead. And it was that fact that struck at the heart of Saul of Tarsus' religion and the works righteousness that he followed. He realized that while he believed that God raised people from the dead, if God raised Christ from the dead and Christ's religion was so opposite to his religion, then it was either him or me. It can't be him, said Saul. So I'm going to have to destroy him. I'm going to have to kill his people. I'm going to have to suppress his religion. And that's exactly how religion continues to act today. And that is precisely why the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is opposed. And the preaching of the gospel, which we preach, is twisted and bent and distorted out of shape. There are plenty of churches preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do not preach the true gospel. Because they realize that if salvation is by God's choice, if salvation is based on the elective purpose of God, without works, then it undermines all that they stand for. And they have to say, it's him or it's me. And Paul speaks about exceeding madness. And that madness is what is playing out time after time after time in the religious practices of men and women today. It's either works, self-righteousness, and that we are pleasing to God because of the things that we do, or it is free grace and Christ's doctrine and Christ that we follow. And these are the two things that are set before men and women today. Those two things are so implacably opposed that it is impossible to reconcile them. If a man is not going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Bible, then he will be mad against Christ. And it is only conversion, it is only a spiritual change that will make the difference in a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. That is why we have to say that it is God's work to bring salvation as a gift to those that he is pleased to call through the preaching of the gospel. We cannot change a natural man's heart to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot change our own heart. It takes a power greater than man to do that. But our blessed Saviour tells us that what is impossible with men is possible with God. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now Paul has very powerfully and frankly set the scene. He has pointed his own self-condemnation. He has testified that the Lord Jesus Christ made that change in his own life. And now he is going to explain to Agrippa just what Jesus did to him and for him on the road to Damascus. But that is for another day. The scene is set. If Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead by God, this is what Paul is saying to Agrippa. If Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead by God, then everything has changed. The Jewish religion is wrong. The Roman religion is wrong. Heathen religions are wrong. Men's own religion of the natural heart, their idolatrous pictures of God, are wrong. If Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead, then even all the religions of the world are wrong. And Jesus Christ is true. It's as simple as that. Now, says Paul, let me tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. And next week, God willing, we will hear what the Lord Jesus Christ did for Paul. Amen. Thank you.